Here in Acts chapter 22, just want to take a look at a few things. This is Independence Day, as we refer to it in our country. What, 236 years since our country declared independence from England and Great Britain, from England, and we celebrate that, and we're thankful to the Lord for it. There's things and issues about that, even relative to the Word of God, that could be debated about it. But since it happened and it took place, I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful to be born in this country. Our founding fathers, they sought freedom from oppression and freedom in religion and be able to worship freely. And because of that, I believe, because of seeking the Lord and a desire for the Lord and a seeking for freedom to worship. And I tell you what, that distinction about the freedom of worship of who in our country is, we're seeing that come and we're facing that as a nation. Our country was founded on a freedom with freedom and liberty for men to self-govern and to worship Jehovah God freely. Okay? That's something that I hadn't seen that until recent years. And it's going to be the very thing, or one of the very key points that was the principle and a reason and a desire by many for desiring our country to be founded and there to be religious liberty in our country. It's sad to say, and it's all in the hand and providence and working of God, but it's going to be that very thing, it seems like, it's going to be used to our demise. Because pagans, although there's freedom for them to worship, that's not what the premise of what the country in our religious freedom was founded on. Because those men, even those brethren that were there seeking for us to have religious liberty in our country, it was Jehovah God that they were considering. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that believed by all, and then believed by many, whose son, only begotten son, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Muslim doesn't believe that. I don't hate Muslims, but their doctrine is damnable. It is the doctrine of devils. Indeed it is. And any other doctrine contrary to Christ is the doctrine of devils. Okay, and so there's much more that can be brought into that. And granted, there are those that purport to be worshiping God Almighty, and we know from what the Scripture tells us they are not. But then, the population of the Muslim people in our country has grown 600% in just 10 or so 12 years. There's no other pressure like that pressure. I've got an article that I meant to bring over here, and I'll look to bring it Sunday so you can take a look at it and read it, just a short article. Anyway, what we want to look at this evening is just freedom and liberty. Freedom and liberty. Here in Acts chapter 22, the Apostle Paul is being dealt with by the Romans there in Jerusalem, and then he's going to be taken to Caesarea, and he's going to stand before the governor that has his place where he lives there. And here this centurion, to whom the Apostle Paul is dealing with and talking to, verse number 25 of Acts chapter 22, and as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Acts 22:25, in the middle there of the verse, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? And when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yea. Paul said, yes, I am. And the chief captain answered and said, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. Paul said, I was freeborn. You and I have been freeborn Americans. Didn't cost us. We didn't have to do the paperwork. We didn't have to learn the language. We have been blessed to be free-born American citizens. May God help me and forgive me for taking that for granted. We take it for granted. Why is it that the world flees and comes to our country from those south of the border, even those that come through our north border and by other means, those that flee countries like Cuba and such as that, they'll go through great peril to try to get on this soil and try to have a part and try to become a citizen of this country. And you know, and it's a shame that our administration, our government presently, has wanted to take that blessing and that privilege and just give it to the world. Amen. It should not be. It should not be. It just should not. We hate those people? No. But we've got means, we've got method by which they should come in. No other country would allow you and I to go there and move into their country. Okay? And I don't want to wax political here. It's just the facts. It's just the way that it is. But we are supposed to do so. And there is an element in that, in the melting pot that our country is said to be, and how it is that there are those from all different nationalities and different peoples and tribes that have come to our country and have enjoyed and been blessed with freedom. We were freeborn. I don't know of any of us here that were not freeborn, and we had to apply for citizenship and go through all that. That's a blessing from God. May the Lord help us to use it. We've been given that freedom. You know, in Luke chapter 4, let's take a look here what the Lord Jesus Christ, reading prophecy out of Isaiah and telling the people here in his hometown of Nazareth, this very thing has come to pass. And in verse number 16 of Luke 4, the scripture says, "And he, that is the Lord Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So he went to it, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.'" That's us. That's who the gospel is preached to. It's preached to the poor. We are indeed poor in spirit. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives." Why? Because of sin. We're captive, and naturally we are held captive by sin. We are broken down by sin. Look what it says. "To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind." We are blind indeed. "And to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." To set at liberty. We've been set at liberty by virtue of being saved. By salvation, we have been set free. And we've been given assurance of that. We've been blessed with that. Although, we're going to take a look here towards the end of the message, we're not free completely yet, are we? Not yet. Not yet, but we have been set free indeed. Romans chapter 6, take a look over here. In Romans chapter 6, we'll just skip down through here and consider some verses. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1, "What shall we say then, because of what the Lord has done with sin and our salvation and justification and how he died for us? According to the Scriptures, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" God forbid! No! No, we don't want to continue in sin. We've been delivered from sin. Verse number 2, "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" We're baptized into the Lord, verse number 3. We're baptized into His death. And we are dead to self, dead to sin, dead to the world. Verse 4 and 5, we are buried. Verse 5, we are planted. That's what baptism is showing. Maddie's baptism Sunday will show what has happened with her. How she, the Lord, has saved her soul. Not to save her soul, but that she has been saved by the Lord. She's dead to that old way, dead to sin, and alive in Christ. And it says in verse number 6, it says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Listen, "for he that is dead is freed from sin." We're set at liberty, brothers and sisters. We're free from sin. We don't have to sin anymore. Now, Brother Jim, our flesh is not saved yet. I know that. But we have the Spirit of God living within. Not just a sub spirit of God. Hear that? We've got the Lord manifests Himself to us in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? We don't have a sub, a second or third or fourth level spirit dwelling within us. It's the Spirit of God Almighty. We've been equipped. And we've been given enlightenment. We've been given light. We've been given knowledge. We've been given understanding. And the Lord will continue to do so as we avail ourselves of the Word. We don't have to sin anymore. Now, will we? Yeah. And the Lord's made provision that we can go to Him in repentance. And He'll forgive us, right?
Amen.
We got a battle going on, do you? Do you have a battle going on? If you don't have a battle going on, something's wrong. As Brother Willie said, we need to take that old man and beat him half to death and get him pinned down. He said, when he was telling us about that over at the jail, he said, need to just kill him off. Well, if we kill him off, we're going to go out of here. but we need, I tell you what, we need to curb him, don't we? We need to beat him half dead. I see him in my mind's eye how he was laughing and caught himself in that. It goes on here in this chapter. We're dead with Christ, verse 8. And we're going to live with Him, looking forward to the resurrection. And look what it says in verse number 17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Oh, the operation of God. Isn't it wonderful? By the Lord making a way and sending His Word and sending preachers and sending His children with a witness of the Word of God, that somehow God takes that Word and takes His Spirit and moves like the wind does, although we can't see the wind. Boy, I tell you, it blew some stuff out of the trees here earlier today. It's powerful. The wind is powerful. The Spirit of God moves and somehow takes a sinner that's cold and dead and hard and cracks them and breaks them and causes them to see and causes them to hear and brings them to a point where from rebellion against God to agreement with God. Amen. Yes, Lord, you're right. And he says here in verse number 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. We were the servants of sin. Now, I'm a servant of righteousness. Why? How do I have life? How am I made alive? How am I illuminated? How am I made to where I can hear? By Christ living within me. The Spirit of God living within. Amen? Been set free.
Amen.
Who's more free than the Lord? Is there anybody? No. And who's more powerful than the Lord? And He lives within. May God help us that we avail ourselves to Him. That's what we're to do. Lord, help me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He didn't say most, did He? He said all. He said all. Goes on here in these verses. Verse number 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and to holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. But now we're free from sin and made a servant to righteousness. Oh, eternal life. Eternal life from the Lord brings a blessed and wonderful and good thing. Before, all I knew how to do was sin. Every move I made was sin. Every thought I had was sin. But now being saved, now the Spirit of God working within, I can serve the righteousness of Christ. I can take Him as an example, and by the empowerment of God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Spirit of God, I can follow after Christ. You can follow after Christ. Yeah. Don't have a mind. Don't have a mind of how we were before we were saved. We look at that and we know that, we remember that. But may the Lord help us to avail ourselves to what He gives us in Christ and live. What kind of life did He say that He gave? Eternal life, right? And He said that I've come that they might have life and that they might have it mediocre. Is that what He said? He said abundantly, right?
Yeah.
Abundantly. Not by the will and the grit and the sheer determination of this old man, but by the Spirit of God living within. We've been made children. We can hear the Father now. Right? May the Lord help us in that. I think there's many, and we are subject to it, that we will live. We understand those things and understand what we've been rescued, but we don't avail ourselves to what the Lord has done for us now, presently, and actively in our hearts and in our lives. He goes here, for you were the servants of sin, verse 20, you were free from righteousness. What fruit, verse 21, and what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? We're ashamed of our sin. I trust we are. For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become the servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That verse 23 is a summing of this verse and a conclusion of this chapter. In verse 22, but now being made free from sin. We're free from sin through the salvation that the Lord has blessed us with. Over here in chapter 8, he continues in these things and in building in the thought here through Romans. And look here what it says in verse number 1 of chapter 8 of Romans. There is there now for no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. All right? Look what it says in verse number 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Been made free in Christ. And he goes on and tells us in this book and in these chapters to come, in this very chapter 8, what can take us away from the Lord? What can rip us out of His hand? What can change the salvation that we have in Christ? What can alter that? What can modify that? What can negate that? What can make that go away? Nothing. Nothing. What can take us captive again? The Lord tells us plainly as children, as if we as children, we do avail ourselves to that sin, especially we that are in the Lord's church and saved and His children, and we are in His church in that, and the church deals with us and puts us out there by virtue of discipline, and we're given over, what's the Scripture say in Corinthians, for the destruction of the flesh. What happens then is when we get disobedient with the Lord, so much so that the church has got to deal with us, the Lord's going to fast forward this old flesh, the life in this old flesh, bring it to an end. That can be the result of it. So that the spirit may be saved. The soul's been saved. Because we're not the servants of sin anymore. We have been set free. John chapter 8. Oh, I tell you what. Talk to you about this on Sunday and asking Maddie to read the book of John here. And wanted her to get to this chapter and understand these things here. There's these Jews here in John chapter 8 that have said that they've been saved. And let's look here in verse number 30 of John chapter 8. And as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, spake these words, many believed on him. He's preaching here to them about the Son of Man, that he is the Son of Man, and how he's going to be lifted up, and that they'll see. And it says that they'll see that he is the Christ. And as he spake these words, verse 30, many believed on him. And Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Child of God, you that claim, we that claim to be a children of God, are we following in his word? Are we following in it? That's one way of testimony that we have been saved. We've seen it. It's sad. Those that give a testimony of salvation, and maybe they're received by the church, they're baptized by the church, and then never seen again. Are they following in the Word of God? No, not at all. Not at all. If we don't take the Word of God on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and take it and apply it to our lives, are we following after the Word of God? Or do we just have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof? Amen? Right? He says, it'll be told, it'll be manifested, if you continue in my word, yeah, then it'll be manifested that you're my disciples indeed. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free. Continue in the word. The word of God is the truth, isn't it? It's that line of truth established eternally by God Almighty. It's unerring. Tell you what, the truth of God's Word is like math, Brother Doug. It doesn't change. It's the reason that, Brother Doug and I in school, we enjoyed math very much because it's the same. Now, literature and creative writing and English, I was terrible in those things. And it said, they'd have you read the story and say, what's this mean to you? I said, told Mrs. Brown, it means nothing to me. So that's not the right answer. Because I wanted to go play. I wanted to go do something. I wanted to go play ball or do something. But math is settled. You know, the truth of God is settled. It's settled in heaven. His Word's settled in heaven. The truth is settled in heaven. You know what the truth will do? The truth of God's Word, the truth of God, it has set us free. The Lord has come to us and said, I'm God, and you're accountable to me. And we believe that, don't we? Right? The sinner that's there in that operation and working of God, how did you know God was even there? Because His Word tells us so. How did we know that we were accountable to God? Because His Word tells us so. Because it's the truth. And He brought it to us. You're a sinner. No, I'm not. There's some of you that are of that mind here. God's Word tells you plainly, you're a sinner. And you say, no, not bad enough. Yes, you are. You are bad enough. And that's the truth. You're going to hell because of your sin. No, I'm not. I'm hoping for some escape some other way. That's not the truth. The truth is, in the shape you're in, that's where you're going. But we that are saved, we say, yes, that is the truth. I need help. No, I don't. Oh, yes, you do. That's the truth. Right? The truth. And he said, and the Lord he doesn't leave it there. In His Word, He doesn't leave it there. In the operation working amongst mankind, He doesn't leave it there. He says, but my Son has died for sinners just like you. He's the answer. He's the one that you can have forgiveness of your sin. He's the one by whom your depravity won't be held against you. He's the one by whom that you can live and not die. He's the one by whom I'll give you eternal life. He's the one, what's the Bible say? That you need to do good enough to make yourself acceptable to Him? No. He's the one in which you need to have faith and believe and trust. He's the one that you need to receive. Receive. He's made us free, hadn't He? The truth has set us free. You know what? As we go on and live, and we see about what the Word of God has to say about living life, and we take the Word of God and apply it to our lives and apply it to our families and apply it to our church, doesn't that set us free? Free. You know what? You know what, if we follow the truth, you know, one main thing that is there that it sets us free from? It sets us free from guilt. Right? Isn't guilt a plague? But if we obey, in that in which we obey the Lord, we receive the truth, we believe it, we apply it, we take it to heart. We receive it. We bring it to ourselves. We make that what our thinking is. It takes us, and love is made perfect. Faith it grows because, and we don't have guilt because we're obeying. Well, that's free, isn't it? To have a free heart and a free conscience before God. I'm not talking about, we are not going to be sinless. We're not going to achieve sinless perfection. But I tell you what, we can sure have a blessing in obedience to the Lord. And where I fail, I need to repent of it. And then turn to that which is right and follow after it. The truth has and does set us free. He goes on and says here, In 31, he says, if you continue my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They had a problem about being free. They answered and said, we've never been in bondage. Have you ever been in bondage? We've been freeborn in this country. We've not ever, not a one of us have ever been a slave, have we? Not in this physical sense and the operation amongst mankind and our country, but we've all been the slave of sin. Right. You that are here without Christ as your Savior, you're still a slave of sin. But you know what? We that are saved, the sinner that is saved, is bought by God off of that slave block of sin. Redeemed. Redeemed. It's good, isn't it? Look here in verse number, let's go ahead and read. In verse number 34, verily, Jesus answers, they said, we've never ever been in bondage. And that, boy, that was flat lie. They were in bondage right then. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. Boy, there's a message there. Verse 36, and the Son, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I've been set free by the Lord. We that have been saved, we've been set free by the Lord. And we've been set free freely. Didn't cost us a thing, did it?
Right.
It cost the Lord everything.
Right. Amen.
But it was free for us. We've been set free freely, indeed. And you know what? As I've mentioned and alluded to in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, let's take a look over here. We've been set free indeed to serve. And may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. You know, we've got a great temptation, especially we that have grown up in the Lord's service. We've been blessed. It's a blessing from God. It is. You that are here and young, and maybe you're not saved yet. Maybe, but we pray that the Lord will save you and that you'll be blessed of the Lord and you'll repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, save your soul. Add you to the church. And that the Lord will bless you. You'll not know a life of grievous sin and waywardness and nastiness in that. We that have been raised up in amongst the Lord's churches and the Lord saved us over the course of time and we've been blessed with that. We need to know that our service is continual until the day we die. So I've been in the Lord's church for 30 years. And I did my service to the Lord up here in the front 25 years, and now I'm going to glide and take it easy. Bad attitude. Bad way. If you and I can do it for the Lord, we need to do it. Till the day we die. Because you know what? We can never rake up what we've done in the past. So, well, I served in this capacity, this capacity, this capacity. I did this. Nobody ever knew it. And you're content with that. And that's great. And that's the way it should be. But you can't take that and drag it up here to today. Because today is today. Yesterday was yesterday. So, well, this or that or the other. No, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. We serve the Lord every day till He takes us out of here. You know what? Because today may be the last day. Today may be the last day. We need to serve the Lord while we're young. Because when we get old, we're not going to be able to serve the Lord physically as much. That's the way that it happens, right? It's the way that it works. And then there's that thing of the uncertainty of life. Sister Angie Reynolds, she died Monday. Not a one of us expected that she would. Her days of service are past. Her reward is going on before her, or did go on before her, and now she's gone to her long home and to meet her reward at 39 years old. You need to serve the Lord while it's day, brothers and sisters. Amen? Because the night's coming, and man works no more. And so, we've been set free to serve. Here in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I tell you what, in verse number 17, we'll just read this here. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Okay? And he's talking here about Moses and the children of Israel and the veil and how the glory of God shone in Moses when he came down and all that. Now the Lord is that Spirit, The Lord, it was the Lord that was there with the children of Israel in the wilderness in that day. The Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Tell you what, Lord, we've gone through some troubling times over the last couple of years, haven't we? But the Lord has blessed us with liberty, hasn't He? He has. I regret it. I hate that it's so for those that have left, that disagreed, have gone on, that have been wayward, had to been dealt with by the church. Whatever the case is, I regret that. I wish that was not so. But in that, taking a stand for the truth of God's Word by the Lord's help and the Lord's working in us, He has honored that, and we have been given liberty, haven't we? It's good. I believe that we're one church now, not two churches, but we're one church now. And those that come, you that come, you want to be here. You want to serve the Lord. You want to worship the Lord. You want to take your part. And may the Lord help us. We might consider, I can understand how it could be. So, well, it's just not the same as it used to be. But what's bad about it now? Is there something evil about it now? If there's something evil, then we need to get that straightened out. But if this is what the Lord's given us and blessed us with, you know, we say that we trust and believe in and follow a sovereign God. Right? Well, has all this slipped up on God? No. No, but the Lord is blessed and I believe has worked and helped in us, and I'm thankful for it. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, indeed, there is liberty. I believe the Lord's Spirit is with us. He is amongst us. And He will honor His Word. And may the Lord help us that we avail ourselves continually to His Word. And as we have issues and things that we deal with and come, that we're confronted with and come our way, that we take it to the Lord. Amen? Because that's what we need to do. May the Lord help us in that indeed. In James chapter 1, take a look over here. James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, in verse number 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, because there's great deception in that. Yeah, I know where that's at in the Scripture. I know we ought to do that. I know that I ought to do that and take that, apply that to my life. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Not just knowing where it's at in the Scripture, but taking it, applying it to life. That application from the Word, deceiving your own selves, because if we know it, but we don't do it, we are being deceived. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, and he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. As it says in Corinthians, I think I read that here recently. Bad manners corrupt communication will bring, I'm paraphrasing, corrupt communication will bring along bad manners. It will affect us. We don't apply the Word of God to our lives, we'll forget who we are. Peter says that way. If we don't add to our faith, we can forget.
Amen.
We can forget. We can get so cold and indifferent to the Lord and fellowship with the Lord and the Spirit that we'll forget what manner of man we are. But whoso, verse 25, looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in what he does. Because why do we serve? Do you serve to keep me off your back? Do you serve to get the accolades from your brothers and sisters? Is the pat on the back from your brothers and sisters, from your pastor, is that essential for your service to be right? Wrong motive. Wrong focus. Needs to be, we do it for the Lord. Amen? We do it for the Lord. Because we want to please Him. And He says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, freeness to serve the Lord, and continues in that, we'll be blessed in our deed. If we'll take and humble ourselves as the Lord humbled Himself, the Lord will exalt us when He's ready. He'll let everybody know if He wants to. He'll grant the reward when it's time, and there'll be nothing better than when He does it. And then if He never does, you know, consider this about our service. The Lord is going to give us a stone, the Scripture says. And if I remember right there in the book of Revelation, He says He's going to give a stone with a name written that nobody knows but He and us. That's private between us and the Lord. Is that enough? It needs to be enough. Because our relationship, namely our relationship, is with Him, isn't it? Is that satisfying? That to have a name given to you by the Lord that He's given to you and that He only knows? Well, is there satisfaction in just serving the Lord and that service between being between you and Him? Or do we have to bring others into it? You see? Because we're set free to serve the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 2. I know it's late. I know many of you have to go to work tomorrow. Hang in there with me. In 1 Peter chapter 2. Here, submitting ourselves, it says in verse number 13, to every ordinance of man, to the government, verse 15. For so is the will of God. 1 Peter 2:15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Folks will take the blessing of salvation from the Lord, the blessing of the knowledge of God's Word, and will take that and the rescue of the Lord, knowing that they're eternally set and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved by Him, and take that and be mean to a lost and dying world. Is that of the Lord? No, we've been set free. We've been set free to be kind, to be a good witness, to show the love of God. Even though we would tell and preach about the judgment of God, we tell that there's hope in Christ. Do we tell them that they're lost and undone and they're on their way to hell and leave them there? As an example, we tell them about Christ. We live a life representative of the Lord, that they would see something different in us. Does your family and your friends and your neighbors and those that you are a witness to and come in contact with, would they want what you've got? Something to ask. Would they want what you and I claim? We've been set free to be a good witness of the Lord. We've been set free from sin. In Galatians it talks about us, we're not the children of the bondwoman, but we're of the free, aren't we? The way that the Lord has brought us and saved us. We're not saved by the law and the keeping of the law, but we're saved by the One who kept the law for us. And His righteousness and fulfilling that, His faithfulness in that, His the Lord Jesus Christ, faithfulness in giving Himself and shedding His blood and giving His life and pouring out His soul and giving His body. We've been set free by that. We've been set free by Him. And Galatians chapter 5, take a look over here. Galatians chapter 5. It says here in verse number 1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And watch out, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Verse number 13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. But don't use that liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." The way the Lord did. We saw that here recently, right? The Lord came to serve, even though He's Master, He came to serve. He came to do what needed to be done for us, not for Himself, but for us. He came and did that for us. Being the highest, He became the lowest for our sakes. He humbled Himself. and gave all that he had. There's much more that we could read and verses in Corinthians and 1 and 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians that we could read. In salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, we are set free, aren't we? But brothers and sisters, you'll testify to it, and we know it by these bodies. And let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. We are only, at this time, partially set free, aren't we? We're free. And I tell you what, we were not free before the Lord saved us, but we are free indeed now. But we are not completely free, are we? And here in Romans chapter 8, and we pick it up here and say, verse number 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God fully." Fully and completely, it being reckoned and completed in us that we are a child of God. This old flesh is not a child of God. It's the new man. It's the Spirit of God living within. It's the soul that has been saved. That's the Son of God. But this old man and this old mind sure isn't of God, is it? Indeed, it's not. For the creature, verse 20, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. One day, when we see Christ, and we'll be with him, either the Lord takes us out of here by death, or we see him at his appearing, at his coming. For his saints, we will then be set free indeed, won't we? And we look forward to that, don't we? To be set free, to be totally free from sin. We have been freed from the penalty of sin, and we are somewhat freed. Spiritually, we're freed from the power of sin. But one day, we're going to be completely freed from sin. And I tell you what, I look forward to it. Sister Angie this week, dear sister, we've known them for many, many years. The time of our lives, Brother Kevin and Sister Angie and Clarissa and myself, the time of our lives are parallel. We were having our kids at the same time. Our children were growing up and our children were friends. We were friends with Kevin and Angie. We fellowshiped with them and they with us, and we were there in the same church together and laughed together and cried together and that. You know, our sister, she went on to be with the Lord Monday, and we miss her. Brother Kevin and KJ and Josh, their two sons and the family there, they're gonna miss her, and pray for them when you think about it. But because of her testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ having saved her soul, she said the Lord was her Savior. I remember back when she was saved. She's set free. We're going to miss her in the meantime, but she's set free. She's not held down by it anymore. She is indeed set free. For you that are here and not saved, the only way for you to be set free is through the Lord. And I want you to turn over here to Revelation chapter 21 and just read a couple more scriptures and we'll close. The Lord Jesus Christ here saying in verse number 6 of Revelation chapter 21, listen to what he says. "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." And the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 6, he got in big trouble with the people and even with many of his disciples that followed after him because he said, "You need to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Because my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." He's not talking about cannibalism, but he's talking about partaking of the Lord so much, so close, and so completely. more so than what our bodies need food, that spiritual partaking of the Lord is closer even than that. We eat our food and it's taken care of and used by our bodies and it sustains our life. You that are here and saved, you need that water of life. You that are here not saved, you need that water of life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's freely given. And you will be set free by it. The Lord says here in the latter part of this chapter, and this is not a quote from the Lord, but rather John writing, okay, in John chapter Revelation chapter 21, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride, that's us, the church, say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. But because it's by that free water, by the Lord Jesus Christ, that you indeed can be set and will be set free. Trust in Him.